Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Wole, Ray Jeezy, and Will T, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. What's going on, fellas?
They're trying to box me out.
What's happening? What you mean?
Trying to box me
Who's
out.
Who's trying to box you out, man? Who is?
DMV, my supposed brothers, partners, are making road trip plans without me.
Will T.
They haven't involved me. They're trying to box me out. So today, I will not be boxed out on this show. I will dominate the airwaves by cutting off both of these men during this show.
Okay. But
I don't care. I don't really care what you're trying to say right
what,
now.
What
right?
you're saying okay. does not
you're
change.
Trying to box me out. And that's
By
cool.
the way, are you still
that's
Eagles cool. fan?
Did you return
to the Eagles? Okay.
I'm an Eagles supporter.
Okay. I was wondering because we had a great Super Bowl and then we got the greatest news, potential news. Well, you heard about Showtime Boxing. That's bad news, actually. Is that Showtime Boxing might go away. February 23rd, Paramount Plus may drop it. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. But what better news, fellas. Quote, NBC Sports is prepared to make an aggressive offer to win back NBA rights after more than 20 years. That's nostalgic right there.
I kind of wanted to make that a topic.
The czar, Mike Fratello, Steve Snapper Jones, Bill Walton, bro, Marv Albert. The nostalgia is coming back.
But is that still relevant? Is that
the song?
The song.
The song itself.
The only thing people, I'll say this. NBC, they've done a great job with the Olympics.
Yeah.
They've done a great job when covering football, NFL on Sunday. And also college football with covering Notre Dame.
Yes.
So I don't think it's too far out of the realm of, you know, them doing a great job with the NBA. But I will ask you this question, Ray, because there's a generation, like our generation.
It's gonna love
we
it.
hit that theme music. It's nostalgia,
yeah,
right?
Man.
But those names you named, they're kind of old. Will that resonate with younger people?
Maybe, but here's the thing, Will. Everything recycles, bro. Look at the haircuts people got today. We never thought that was coming back. The New Jack City haircuts wasn't coming back, but they're back. Brandon Jennings brought it back. Everything recycles itself. We were wearing big baggy clothes for a long time. Now everybody's wearing their clothes fitted tight. You Anthony Davis height. You got on high waters and they're pretty much tight. Like this is what this generation does. So when we educate these folks, YouTube is such a great tool.
It is though, man.
They will understand like how real it was. Look, I put this out there in a group chat and somebody hit me back like the intro music on NBC was the best, gearing up for Chicago at the Garden game versus the Knicks, got you pumped up for the game just by itself. Now we gotta listen to Doris Burke. So that's
like
what they
Doris.
Said.
I like Doris.
I do
like
too.
Doris.
That's what
like
this person. That's what this person said. They
trash.
They don't like
that. They trash.
They don't like
Doris
Burke.
Is like that. They trash. I just think the ESPN does a terrible job.
I like Mike Breen. I like Jeff
team,
Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. I like that team.
I know. I think you can. My thing is, I think you could take some of them over to NBC.
That's the same thing. That's the same thing this person said.
I think the production would be better.
Think about Sunday Night Football with Ronnie Harrison. Anybody they bring in, it works. It just works. They lost some people. It still works. So NBC, I think, is the right place for basketball. That's what we need. I want the music back.
I want the music back.
The music alone.
I just don't want Stephen A. Smith on ESPN. I'm on NBC.
No, we don't.
If we don't, I don't want Stephen
A.
Smith.
I'm not going to mention by name, though.
He is ESPN.
He wouldn't go to NBC. But like Maria Taylor is at NBC now. She would cover the NBA. I could see Jalen totally jumping ship and going over with her to NBC. NBC, I'm campaigning for. It would be amazing. Like I said, it capped off what was a great weekend with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then Juju Smith-Schuster had the tweet of the year. That joke was hilarious.
That man's the troll.
That was hilarious.
No, he's hilarious. Don't get it twisted.
That wasn't funny?
But he's petty. No. He's petty trolling.
I know you're different, though.
No, I mean, no. It's not
serious.
It's not
cuss out waitresses and stuff. Like, I know.
Go ahead. Bring it back. That's back.
Buffalo
day.
Wild Wings, Will
that's
T. That's who this is. The Black Militant. That's what Wole used to call him. He like, who want to fight me?
Go ahead.
Cat Williams. That's Will T. You mad at breakfast, bro? Like, chill out, man. Like, no, Will.
The memories, man.
You game banging on bacon?
I mess with our younger selves, man. So, it was so different.
I like who I've evolved into.
Me too.
I go left to right, man.
Gole wants me back, like, in basketball. But other than
I
that,
I do, man. I want to be
I don't troll anybody no more. I'm more introverted these days.
I don't know. I like when you troll people. You make it fun at times. Yeah. Especially when you play basketball. I like when you troll
I think I did enough of that to where I can't even see myself engaging in that type of behavior anymore.
Well, that sucks.
All right. NBC is coming back. So that's maybe Ray will, too.
Allegedly.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
But Showtime Boxing, we want to keep that.
So
that's all we got left.
If they leave, will they bring back HBO at least?
No, because think about it. Like, HBO is going to, in the spring, will be merged with Discovery.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Discovery
that's
Plus.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody wants boxing, bro. Well, it's because of the bad business.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to put it, if it's going to be strictly on streaming, then...
Paramount Plus, maybe.
I don't necessarily think it'd be profitable for
I don't even
boxing.
Want Paramount Plus. I know, look at DAZN and ESPN Plus. People don't want to subscribe to that.
Yeah, for boxing, no. Not for boxing.
I mean, it would help with piracy, possibly, right? Maybe? Because that's the biggest issue with boxing. Like, so many people still box.
You're still going to find a way.
Well, they got that. You see that? You see that? See, you part of the problem, bro. You're part of the problem, Wale. We're going to move forward, though, but we'll see what happens, especially because now I look like. Look, and Will T, I'm going to give Will T his flowers right now. He texted us back then. He said, I ain't getting excited about Tank Ryan Garcia until I see a press conference. He said, y'all falling for the Kool-Aid. And I was like, come on, Will, let's have some optimism, man.
He's right.
But De La Hoya was BSing the whole time. And Tank sent him back something about the rematch. Like, y'all can have the production.
Yep.
And De La Hoya still saying there's problems. So I would still like to see Ryan Garcia fight Regis Progre and lose. I would. Anyway, sorry. I'm done. No.
We argue on Willis Flowers. He is right about
that. Will was right about that.
Yeah, definitely.
See, I acknowledge when you're right. That's all I'm saying. I don't need to get
I was right about Eric Bieniemy, too.
Acknowledge him. Acknowledge. What?
I did send everyone a text saying, watch out for Eric Bieniemy.
Will, you be late on things. You think you're on time.
I said y'all on everything, bro.
Let's go.
I sent it on the text.
I know that.
Box him out. Will they?
Months.
Oh, you said months? Oh, months ago.
Months ago.
Okay, if you did, I'm not going to deny it then. So I'm
going to maybe you did.
Yeah, let me acknowledge Will again.
If you can find the evidence, I'll totally support it. Because I don't have no problem acknowledging either one of you guys.
Yeah, acknowledge Will. Acknowledge him.
I love it. Roman.
Hey, Amp Power Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Hey, you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene.
Make sure you subscribe to The Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
This show can be found on Podcast DC. The local app with 100 options in news and health right here in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear the Urban Sports Scene as well as other Empire shows which produce great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll discuss the Washington Commanders interviewing Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator at 8:20. We'll talk about the Chiefs defeating the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Finally, we'll talk about the legacy of Nats owner Ted Lerner. Lerner passed away on Sunday.
Rest in power.
You know what I'm saying? So, let's get right into it. It was reported that the Washington Commanders will be interviewing Super Bowl champion offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy on Thursday. Thoughts, Will T?
Bullshit.
Dang, bro.
No, I mean, I think it's BS that he has to literally take a lateral. Some would say a lateral job.
Oh, okay,
I wouldn't even call it a lateral job. I would say it's a step down in jobs, right? Because you think about you being in a Super Bowl franchise, leading one of the best offenses over the past 3 to 4 years, and now you have to come to Washington, a team that does not necessarily have the resources that Kansas City had from a playmaker perspective, and you have to go and prove and join a franchise that is in flux with a reported sale and a possible change of ownership that may be coming up at either before the season starts or sometime after the season starts or during the season. So, but that's neither here nor there. If Eric Bieniemy were to join Ron Rivera's staff as the offensive coordinator, I think that it would bring some excitement and new ideas to this office, and I'm interested in seeing how his play caller would mesh up with someone like Sam Howell, because we know Howell is right now technically the QB1 because he's the only QB that signed as of now.
Culture change has been a difficult aspect of the job for Coach Rivera. He thought it was going to be something he could definitely do coming in as a minority and just coming in with fresh ideas, having some recent success by taking the MVP quarterback to the Super Bowl. But he's had a difficult time. And I think Eric Bieniemy is actually coming from an organization that Washington would strive to be or want to look like. First of all, they kept their Indian name. You didn't. I know that some people don't like the name, and I get it, Will T. I know you part of that party. But at the same time, that's something I didn't like. But coming from there, you have a franchise quarterback. When has this franchise had one of those? And an offense that puts up a lot of points. So aiding the culture change is something that's critical. And whatever key components you can add, Eric Bieniemy, I think, is definitely should be one of those, for the simple fact that even if he wasn't always calling plays in Kansas City, the fact that he was in that environment and 5 conference title games, 2 Super Bowls, he cannot do anything but help you.
2 Super Bowl wins.
2 Super Bowl wins. Yeah. 3 Super Bowl appearances. Yeah, I think he can do nothing but help you. And from what all the reports are saying, he was instrumental in that comeback in the Super Bowl this past week.
Yeah, for me, about, I hate the narrative. This is something that Will's talk referring to. I hate the narrative that, you know, the play calling thing. I hate that narrative, right? Because Andy Reid calls plays everywhere he's been. He's done that. Doug Peterson, we don't talk about Doug Peterson. He didn't call plays with Andy Reid. Go ahead.
So I think there's one fallacy in a lot of the reporting that's kind of out there when it comes to Eric Bieniemy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prior to this year, Eric Bieniemy had total autonomy on the play calling over final say on play call, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know. Now he signed another 1-year contract this year.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if that's the case this year, but we do know that the one element that changed the direction of the Super Bowl, which was when Kansas City in the second half being inside the 10 or 5 yard line. When those fake jet screens,
so
that was his.
Those are great plays, man.
That was something that he came up with.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, I don't like the narrative that, you know, everywhere that Andy Reid has been, he's been the primary play caller. Supposedly he's been the primary play caller, and we don't question these other individuals. Like, we don't question Frank Wright. We don't question Matt Nagy. You know what I mean? Like, he went to Chicago and probably had gave Mitchell Trubisky his best year under his tutelage, because he went to Chicago under Matt Nagy, went to the playoffs twice.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, we're questioning Eric Bieniemy. But that's neither here nor there, right? I get annoyed with that whole narrative about Eric Bieniemy. But for Washington, it's definitely a situation that you got to have this guy. Like Will mentioned, the Super Bowl. If you watched the Super Bowl, you saw those plays in the red zone. That just showed you in terms of how to set a defense up. Eric Bieniemy did that. And if you're a Washington fan, you've been begging for that type of play caller, because you saw – you know, the issue with Scott Turner was he was predictable. When you saw something with Eric Bieniemy in the Super Bowl, in the biggest game of the year, that man was unpredictable, and he set that Eagles defense up. That's a guy, and you look at Washington's skill position, you got 3 wide receivers that a lot of people are enamored with. 2 of them who are 2 starters. Ocho Cinco came out and said that you can have a Terry McLaurin and a Jahan Dotson as a duo. It was amazing. Then you add Curtis Samuel. You have weapons on the outside. 4, the issue is that obviously you don't have Patrick Mahomes, but Eric Bieniemy had a Alex Smith and gave him and they had their best season. So you can do this with a Sam Howell. So to me, like, there are weapons here for him to be successful. So that's not the issue with it for him. But obviously you're not having a Patrick Mahomes, so I get that. But I think, because I have faith in Eric Bieniemy, because all the things I've mentioned about the other individuals under the Andy Reid tree, that he could be successful here.
Yeah, like I hate the narrative that
but he should have a head coaching job. I want to put that out there.
Yeah,
he should.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I just want to put that out there. He should. Like, I agree with Will. Like, he should have a head coaching job.
Yeah, I just hate the narrative that, you know, this guy has to come take a lateral or a step back.
Yeah.
To prove himself, where, like you said, you had Matt Nagy who wasn't the primary call. He for the latter half of the season before that he was hired as the Chicago Bears coach, he had play calling responsibility, mm-hmm, because Andy Reid turned it over to him.
Yeah.
But other than that, during this time, Andy Reid was the primary play caller. Then you had Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson was the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid. He got the job with the Eagles, and we know what he went on to do as the won a Super Bowl, and we've seen what he's done in Jacksonville. Yeah. So I don't know what it is that he isn't doing in those interviews or what he hasn't put forth that owners have a question of him for him about. But if I were Eric Bieniemy, man, I would not take another offensive coordinator position just to prove that I'm a potentially good head coach.
I will say this though, I'm a conspiracy theorist within this situation. Mm-hmm. You've had it from the beginning, and I mentioned it on the Big Doug Show. A reporter mentioned Eric Bieniemy coming to D.C. early. Then you had Ian Rappaport mentioned it. Then you had Albright who mentioned it. Then you also, I think it was Adam Schefter who mentioned it as well. Like, so you have all these reporters who have pretty much put it out there. I'm under the belief that something has been promised to him, like, that is different from any other situation. Because I just think that what we saw in the Super Bowl, what we've seen in terms of model consistency, that even the Ravens, look at the Ravens. I'll use the Ravens as an example, right? Let's use the Ravens as an example. People say that the Georgia dude was, like, they're the person they're truly targeting. But if you're the Ravens, you're going to take, like, to me, Eric Bieniemy combined with Lamar Jackson, it's a winning situation.
But, I mean, they've already filled that.
I feel like something was told to Eric Bieniemy. Like, I think something was promised to Eric Bieniemy, different from the Ravens situation. For instance, he can go to Baltimore, right? Be real, he can go to Baltimore. Say he balls out. They go to the Super Bowl, right? You're only getting Eric Bieniemy for 1 year. It's not a win situation for John Harbaugh. He can't take over for John Harbaugh. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he can't. In D.C., let's keep it a buck. He could possibly take over for Ron Rivera. He could.
That's the rumor. That Ron Rivera is going to move into the front office.
Like, he could take over for Ron Rivera. That's the thing. Like, there is something different in this situation compared to some of these other situations that you're referring to.
That's fine and dandy, but we do know this. It has been reported, I believe, last week, last Friday, if I'm not mistaken, that Josh Harris took a tour of the Commander's facilities, right? For those who aren't aware, Josh Harris is a guy who's bidding for this team. So what happens with a change of ownership? You know, even if, you know, if he comes here and Ron Rivera says, hey, I see myself transitioning to the front office and I want you to be the guy.
Yeah.
But if a new ownership comes in, then all of that gets kiboshed.
Yeah, but all right, so all right, to your point, you heard what Sean Payton said.
What's that?
About D.C. Sean Payton said that he was interested in coming to D.C. because an owner already who had an opportunity, who was thinking about buying, who's in the bidding, came to him and said that, all right, we want you. We'll have your host. You bring your own team, your own staff, and you'll come to D.C. He talked about it. Like, he talked about media row. He talked about this. Who's to say that's not happening with Eric Bieniemy? That's my thing. Who's to say that's not happening with Eric Bieniemy? I feel like it's to your point. Why would you leave Kansas City? I'm gonna keep it a buck. Why would you leave Patrick Mahomes for D.C.? Really though, if he does come here, why would you leave Patrick Mahomes for D.C.? Real talk.
So the only reason why is because there's a perception out there that you are not aren't qualified, or you don't have the ability to scheme up and call an offense while under Andy Reid.
I just want to let y'all ponder this. If he's the best option, Bieniemy, why is people around the league, including the former quarterback Robert Griffin III, stumping for Greg Roman? Why is that the case?
I mean,
that's his skill set. That's Griffin's skill set, though.
I'll say this.
Maybe because he played for him?
Only reason I would say he's stomping for Greg Roman is because Greg Roman developed the offense around a quarterback with his similar skill set, and who some people will say had similar deficiencies, right, as RG3. Some people will say that.
You talking about Lamar?
Colin Kaepernick and Lamar.
Okay.
Mm. So some people will say, and he also played for Greg Roman, right? Yeah. So that could be why, you know, RG3 is going so hard for Greg Roman. Mm. I will say this. Over the past, 3 or 4 years, or was it 2 or 3 years that Greg Roman was the
Baltimore?
Office coordinator
like
in
three?
Baltimore.
Is it 2 years? I mean, look, no, I want to say 2. Let me look it up. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
One thing that we did not see was progression in that offense, with regards to
passing
He's been with Baltimore since 2019. Yes, and before that he was the tight ends coach, and then he got promoted. No, he got promoted from senior offensive assistant and tight ends coach to assistant head coach and tight ends coach. He's the offensive coordinator.
No, demoted from like where he was in, like in San Francisco because he was the offensive coordinator.
That's
what I mean. I'm talking about like prior to.
Well, he left San Fran and went to Buffalo.
And
he was OC there and then didn't
OC
work out. And that's when he went to Baltimore and then he basically went
down
and then came back up.
Got you. Okay.
So that is a lot of experience, a lot of different offenses. He's seen a lot. I was just asking that question because I'm just trying to figure out, is there any type of controversy? Because if something's being promised, Eric Bieniemy, then that's something we should know for the simple fact that there is another name out here. And there are legitimate people, sources saying that this is the right move if you go Greg Roman's way.
Everyone is so in terms of the reports, their number one is Eric Bieniemy. That's their number one. That's their number one. Like Wash is number one.
Okay.
That's the sources that he's the one that they want. Like, that's what Ian Rappaport reported. Like, he's the one they want.
So you interview Greg Roman
just in case.
As a backup plan?
In case. Okay. You got to always.
Contingency plan, I guess.
Exactly.
Oh, well, interesting. I want Eric Bieniemy to get a job because I want him just to at least get the opportunity to fail. Chip Kelly and others, they got opportunities, multiple opportunities, even though they clearly weren't cut out to coach at that level.
Yeah.
Same thing with Lane Kiffin. For whatever reason, people were enamored with him in spite of the fact
McDaniels,
that he struggled.
McDaniels and look at McDaniels.
It's just not fair.
Even if he bombs,
just give him the opportunity to at least do that. I don't care if you fire him at the one season. Give him the chance.
And the issue that I have with people on the Andy Reid tree are successful. Absolutely. I don't even get that. I've seen bad I've seen bad press conferences from folks who've gotten jobs. I wonder how the you know what you could even be
Nick
called.
Nick Sirianni probably had the
horrible
worst
press conference.
You tell me he can interview? You can tell me he can interview for real? From what I saw in that I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not trying to call one out. I'm just saying I don't know.
The reality is when it comes to people, when it comes to hiring, people have biases.
There you go.
People often want people who represent them.
Jeff Saturday.
Or similar to them.
Who they vibe.
It is.
Yeah.
It's self-explanatory when you think about that. But there's so much controversy around the league right now with the refs and with who the league prefers to be featured on television. Brady is now retired for good. Mahomes is now considered by many the new Brady, and the league is going to do whatever they can to make sure he's in the big games. That's what people are saying. And I don't necessarily argue with it for the simple fact that from the Charles Woodson strip sack to now, I question the officiating. And sometimes I'm so serious. That was a good call. And that's something we'll discuss. We're going to take a break. Of course, Chiefs are now Super Bowl champions. Led by aforementioned Patrick Mahomes. His pops is hilarious. Did y'all see that dude?
Yeah, oh my God.
Smoking on Philly blunts. we'll recap the Super Bowl and also we'll talk about the halftime show, fellas. I want to hear what y'all thought about that. It's next.
All right, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
Vigis.
You dig?
Deuces.
On Empire Media, empiremedia.com.
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everybody want it, but it ain't that serious. Mm-hmm. That's that. So if you gon' do it just like this. Did you realize that you are a champion? You don't see just how wild the crowd is. You don't see just how fly my style is. I don't see why I need a stylist. When I shop so much, I can speak Italian. I don't know, I just want it better for my kids. And I ain't saying we was from the projects, but every time I want to lay away or deposit, my daddy say, when you see clothes, close your eyelids. We was sort of like Will Smith and his son. In the movie, I ain't talking about the rich ones. Cause every summer, he'd get some brand new hair brain scheme to get rich from. And I don't know what he did for dope, but he'll send me back to school with a new wardrobe. And hey, hey. think he did when he packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something, show you how we live. Everything I wanted, man, it seems so serious. That's that. So if you gon' do it just like this.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will, Ray, and myself, Ole, and we are part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. All right, in Super Bowl 57, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Philadelphia Eagles 38-35. I'm going to start with you, Ray. Were you surprised on how the game turned out?
Not at all. Jalen Hurts is a legitimate stud quarterback, and the Kansas City defense has been overrated all season. Because many thought that that's why Kansas City wouldn't make it that far, because the defense, of course, was not as good as what it needed to be in order to overcome some what we thought were difficult opponents. Unfortunately, I think injuries hurt teams like Buffalo, and of course, self-inflicted wounds hurt Cincinnati. But they made the Super Bowl in spite of their defense. But Jalen Hurts exposed them. I mean, it was, of course, a debate about the call at the end, but as pointed out by many analysts, there weren't a whole lot of PI calls or holding calls because everybody was so wide open on both sides. I don't know what happened. The Eagles really do have a difficult time covering. We'll let you know that. Their pass rush has been so good, but they could not get to Mahomes. So on both sides, we saw receivers running wide open, but it was awesome quarterback play. I knew that it was going to be close. I actually picked Philly because, of course, I'm rooting for Jalen Hurts and just all that he's had to overcome. And it just didn't shock me that he came out to ball. Like, he always plays with a chip on his shoulder. So, to answer the question, I was not surprised at all.
That Bradbury holding call on Juju Smith-Schuster is probably the main story that everyone's talking about with regards to the Super Bowl. Yeah. But the story that no one's really paying attention to is the condition of the field.
Oh, my foot, that feel was terrible.
Oh, everybody was talking about that too, though. That's the secondary story. Yeah,
the secondary.
I don't know. Have you been talking about it?
Yeah, I saw a lot about it.
Not a whole lot, but I'll say this. That was terrible. The condition of the field was terrible. If you noticed it, it neutralized the two things that the Eagles had kind of overachieved on this year. Was one, their pass rush. They had a NFL record pass rush with four guys with 10 plus sacks. So when you saw guys like Hassan Reddick slipping without even getting caught, without even engaging with the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, so it neutralized it from that perspective. And two, one thing that, in my opinion, well, and some of the players have said this, the offensive line wasn't able to get a push, and we know that the two things that Philadelphia did well this season was, one, run the football, and two, rush the quarterback. Both of those things were nullified by the condition of the field and the maintenance of the field prior to the game.
For me, I mean, I was surprised because, I mean, this how the game was going, when it was like, was it 14 to
24-14.
24-14,
sorry. Philly was up 24-14.
I was like, okay, this is going to be a blowout. Like, then it was like, all right, this is pretty much how, like, I was like, this is how I thought it would be. Like, we had a discussion last week, Will. I said that if the Eagles would win a blowout, I thought that if the game got close, KC would win. I was surprised, honestly, that I thought Patrick Mahomes looked healthier than I thought he would look. You know what I mean? I know he had that scare with the tackle low. Then he started hobbling off the field. But that long run he had, like, he looked as mobile as he's normally looked, because he's not at super fast anyway. But I was surprised in that aspect. But in terms of, if Patrick Mahomes was healthy, I thought that he could do what he did against the Eagles defense. And the only reason why I say that is that, like, and I said this about a lot of teams in the NFC East, but truth be told, like, that division hasn't seen quarterback play like Patrick Mahomes all season, for real. Like, we haven't. Like, the West has a bunch of studs in terms of quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. Even we see it even in the AFC East, right? Where you have Allen, Tua, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you look at the NFC, like, there are limited quarterbacks out there. Like, Kirk Cousins is probably the best quarterback that the Eagles have seen. You know what I mean? And that can go left or right. Right, you're seeing a guy who's a playmaker in Mahomes. Like, you're seeing a playmaking quarterback.
You're right.
Who can make all the throws.
The top quarterbacks are in AFC. Yeah, Mahomes, exactly. Burrow,
and
Josh Allen.
That's
true.
Burrow too. So, yeah. And these are playmaking quarterbacks. It's different though.
Even Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. Put him in that discussion.
Yeah. So and most of us, either Eagles and Washington, have seen Trevor Lawrence in the beginning.
Right.
Like, we haven't seen him towards the end, the better version of Trevor Lawrence, sure. Right? So, like, so now we have a playmaking quarterback who can make plays with his legs, makes plays with his arms, who is a baller, right? Forget being safe. Like, Kirk Cousins is safe.
Right.
Like, no knock on him, but he's safe. A baller, a guy that can now extend plays, can make all the throws from any different launching point. Teams we haven't, in the NFC, to be real with you, we haven't seen that. The Niners saw that. Right? They saw Patrick Mahomes. They got blown out. That good defense got blown out. So I'm saying, like, the whole NFC never seen a quarterback like that. But my only issue was that if Mahomes was hurt, then you're not seeing the true totality of Patrick Mahomes. But he was healthier than I thought. Therefore, I was like, okay. Then when I saw how he was moving in the second half, my surprise was like, okay, now it came to this is what's supposed to happen. Because you're seeing the real Patrick Mahomes.
Were you guys surprised that Philly was able to manage the clock the way they were without a run game? They kept Kansas City off the field, but they weren't running the football. But they were getting first downs. They were converting on fourth downs.
I was surprised to some extent, but when you take into consideration, they weren't using that power run game that traditionally they use with their running backs. They were using it with Jalen Hurts to get those yards and eat up the clock.
True.
It kind of nullified that fact.
That's the thing. I thought that Jalen Hurts. I figured that Jalen Hurts would do damage against them. So I wasn't surprised
against that defense. Yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't surprised that they won the time of possession, even though they weren't pounding the rock with Sanders and whatnot. But I am surprised they didn't feature Sanders a lot, though. I am surprised with that, though. I was surprised about that.
Stuff happens.
I mean, if you look at his first couple of carries, he was slipping a lot. I don't know if he changed his cleats or they just said, you know, we're not going to feature you this game. They saw something on tape. I just don't know what the deal. I don't know what the deal was.
All right, I got a comment in our chat. Mahomes, he said, my man Swill said Mahomes is filthy. Pacheco isn't getting enough praise for taking the pressure off the passing game. Also, shout out to you all. Man, appreciate you, homie.
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
I agree. I think Pacheco was dope. Pacheco was physical. Physical hat, and he definitely took some pressure off Mahomes. I totally agree with you.
I know it's too early to get, you know, thinking about next year fantasy football, but I think he's going to be a stud next year.
Oh, you think he'll be that dude?
Pacheco, yeah. Pacheco and Tony.
Ooh, boy.
Mm-hmm. I think Tony going to be a problem.
Put that money on it.
His kickoff return was, his punt return was huge.
Tyreek Hill, of course, tweeting during the game in support of his old team. Mm-hmm. That's a sort of 180 or 360 in comparison to how he started the season, where he took some shots at Mahomes. But sometimes when you're that good, people just have to acknowledge you. Like Roman, like we said at the start of the show, third most watched Super Bowl in history according to the current numbers. Best game in recent history. I like the Cardinals Steelers. That's the one that comes to mind. That was really dope.
What time frame do we?
Let's say the 2000s.
Last year's Super Bowl was pretty good too, though. When Aaron Donald made that big play and took over that drive, man.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think we all forget. Like, this was dope. Like, don't get this Super Bowl was dope. It was back and forth to a certain extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think even in my memory, I don't think it's too far away. But with I'm sorry.
No, I'll say this. I think this is probably the first Super Bowl in a long time where we've seen two younger quarterbacks that were on the way ascending.
And still playing good football.
Yeah. Make it to the Super Bowl. Because you think about it, man. We've seen a lot of Tom Brady.
Oh, God.
You know, we've seen
Eli.
Same old, Peyton. You know, we had that one year where we had – well, you had those couple of years where you had Russell Wilson and you had Cam Newton, right? But who were they facing off?
It was Brady or Manning.
Matt Ryan was the MVP. He faced
Brady. Everybody plays Brady. Like, that's
the key. I think this
it was a refreshing matchup.
It was refreshing to see two younger ascending quarterbacks, right, take on each other. And plus there were, you know – the NFL does a lot with the storylines.
So if you had to pick between that Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl, Ben Roethlisberger makes just an amazing throw to win the game. Kurt Warner was playing at a high level. Larry Fitzgerald was balling that season. Anquan Boldin, like, that was a good Cardinals team. Steelers were up and coming. The discussion was if the Steelers would have beat the Packers in that next Super Bowl they went to, they would be a dynasty. They would be considered a dynasty. So that Pittsburgh Steelers team, Mike Tomlin, everybody loves him as a coach.
Oh, yeah.
versus this season, of course, you got Nick Sirianni, who a lot of people like him, but some people feel like he needed to be humbled, and what he sort of was. Yeah, and then you got Andy Reid, who you can't help but root for Andy Reid. So what game would you pick if you had to say which one was the best? Because those are the only two that come to mind when I think of it.
Seattle versus the Patriots.
That interception, the Marshawn Lynch one?
They had so much drama in that play because everybody thought Beast Mode was getting the ball. On that 1 yard line, there was so much.
That's one you could throw in there, but that's kind of the same old Brady stuff. If that's what you want to.
Oh, you talking about
that? And we're trying to move away from that. Yeah, I don't know, but you.
No, I mean clearly the most exciting ending was this one.
Was the one you were talking about?
Mike Tomlin was mic'd up,
and when the Cardinals scored, which Fitzgerald, remember he scored. We actually had a Super Bowl party, man. I don't even want to think about that. I mean, no, not my house, but long story. But real talk, because like Ron was there, it was wild. You know, he was a big Ben fan, like crazy. But what's crazy is Mike Tomlin was mic'd up. I'll tell you why after this. Crazy story, but I won't say it on air. Mike Tomlin was mic'd up. He said, they gave us too much time. We about to go down and score and win this game. Like, it just, the NFL films, you know, you watch that, Steve Sable, like the
yeah, I know you're talking about.
I would love to see the just how this game looks in the aftermath, so to speak, when you watch with the sideline. Like, that's what I'm saying. Because that's what made that game so dope. Because Mike Tomlin, when he tripping when he scored, he's like, we got this. Like, he had that much faith in this quarterback.
Yeah.
Versus Atlanta, they just straight, like, choked. You ain't see daggone Dan Quinn on the side, like, oh, we got this. Brady gave us too much time. Nah, they punked out. This is why Shanahan ain't got that Super Bowl yet. I'm just saying, as a fan. Of course, Shanahan's that dude, man. I'm just joking.
I just think we obviously live in the moment. We live in the present. A lot of people are saying this. If they went
for the Bradbury hold and Hurts gets the ball back, it's possible overtime, whatever. I think clearly this is the best Super Bowl we had in a while.
I think the Bradbury, that tainted
it. It did. It was a good call. It was a good call. But anyway,
it's a call. I mean, it's the right call.
And he got away with. He got away with early in the game. Yeah. So.
I don't like. It's the right call, but do you call it? I guess that's the thing.
If you've been consistent, you hadn't called that call.
Yeah.
Because everybody was open though.
Yeah.
It wasn't that many calls to call from that perspective.
Because you didn't call that pass interference, like the one you're talking about. You didn't call that play. You didn't call that one.
Yeah. So if you didn't call it in, I mean. Was it the right call? Yes. Yeah. But if you're going from a consistency standpoint, then you don't make it.
Is Mahomes the new Brady? That's the question.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the picture floating around? I'll show it to Will because
he owned this.
It's interesting how, especially black folks, they can flip on you so fast. Like, they're saying that Mahomes is mixed, so he's not really black, and now the league wants him to be the savior because it was weird. Like, I heard people saying, I was like, dang, they going to flip on him like
people,
that.
People are crazy.
This picture, I need to pull it up so I can show Will. A Mahomes trading jerseys with the ref. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, yes, because yeah. Y'all saw that, too.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yo.
Social media is the devil.
Social media is off the chain.
It's off the chain.
And I think Mahomes is just that daggone good, though.
He is that good.
Like, Brady, here's something that Ryan Clark said. I ain't going to lie. I'm a fan of Ryan Clark.
I am, too.
And he was like, when the Patriots were winning those early Super Bowls with Brady, Brady wasn't the driving force. Mahomes is the driving force.
The early bowls, right?
Right.
Yeah. He wasn't.
He's like, Mahomes is winning Super Bowls younger, and he's the driving force.
Yep.
Like, the upside is so real. And Andy Reid is basically like, I ain't going nowhere. Like, we're about to do this as long as we can. So I don't have a problem with Mahomes being face of the league. I don't understand why I have to come down to these things, but I'm just... I don't know if I should even went there for real, but I just was shocked to hear some of that. And, of course, people didn't like the call. So it's emotional. You saw the Philly fan on social media, broke his TV, pulled it off the wall. He trying to fight everybody.
Is that real?
I don't know.
I feel like a little exaggerated.
You think it's that stage?
I thought it was stage.
But how do you know the call was coming?
Though, man. I thought it was a little over the top.
Like some WWE promo type stuff?
I thought that was a little over the top.
So we got a couple minutes left, technically, because we've gone over. Go ahead. Read that joint.
Matt Eric on the chat said the ref got more TV time than Mahomes. # AFC. I guess AFC championship game.
Mm. Yeah.
I guess they still on the Bengals game.
Listen, whenever you're a fan and your team loses and there's a controversial call, you're never really going to get over it. I mean, but because the Saints fans, they still talk about that Rams play. Remember?
I know, but they got
that was egregious though, bro.
It was terrible, but they got away with a lot of calls prior to it. But they don't want to acknowledge them. They don't want to acknowledge those calls.
I'm just saying, you never get over it though.
I mean, the game is one thing, but there's also another element to the Super Bowl, which is the halftime.
Yeah, that's why that was my segue.
So let me ask
Will T being assertive.
Let me ask you guys. Rihanna's halftime show. How did you guys feel about it?
I'll let Wole go first. All
right, so don't cancel me. How did I feel about it initially?
Well, I'll just go out.
Look, we can't even be honest.
Because of woke culture, we can't even be honest. I felt like I didn't get all of Rihanna, man. I felt cheated because I wanted to see Rihanna dance the way Rihanna dances. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I wanted provocative Rihanna. All right, that's what I wanted. All right, that's what I wanted.
Okay,
that's cool, right?
That's a male point of view. I'll give you that. Somewhat single male point of view. But here's what I think, for real. I think last year proved that you need to have a collection. Dre, 50, Mary J. Blige, have a collection of great artists, and you can put on a dynamic performance. Rihanna has a lot of hits, which made her a viable candidate, but I'm just saying...
She could have some people do
to follow up... That, I mean, the only jokes on social media after that halftime show last year was 50 was fat. That was it. Other than that, everybody was saying, dang, this was a dope halftime show. Mary J. Blige had the thighs out, you know what I'm saying, for the males. And, dude, you could have followed that up this year if you would have put Rihanna on a stage with, like, Kanye or Drake or somebody.
Kanye, I mean, though. You wouldn't have.
I didn't have Kanye.
Well, Kanye would have said some wild stuff, right? But no, that's okay. Nah, not Jay-Z, because Jay-Z's like Tom Brady. Like, he's always around.
They could have Jay-Z.
Rihanna has collaborated with so many people, and I think that they could have paired her with some folks.
Yeah. Well, I'll say
a lot of good. I'm sorry.
I'll say this for her to be pregnant. I think the aesthetics of the performance, you know, with the dancers and the floating stage,
the sperm and stuff around it.
Hey, I didn't say that. Her hanging from the rafter and all that stuff, I think that increased the entertainment value. I will say this though, Rihanna going out there performing for 15 minutes pregnant.
I thought
she's making it hard for a lot of women that are pregnant. They're just going to say, I'm pregnant, I can't do this. That's all I'm going to say going forward. Can't use an excuse.
I ain't going there either. Oh man.
Eric said Rihanna was fine. Subdued as it should be for a pregnant woman.
Yeah, again, that's the discussion that came from it. Yeah. I think from entertainment perspective, according to the numbers, more people tune into the halftime show than the actual game itself.
I know, I heard.
For the NFL, they won. Rihanna didn't get paid. I don't understand that part.
They say they don't pay them.
They don't pay anybody. No, it's exposure.
So they do give them something for the production, mm-hmm. like to, you know, as far as a budget for the production, but as far as them actually receiving a check for performance, no.
If you're dancing on a suit, this like you're freelancing, this is the biggest opportunity in my life, so I'm going.
So those people probably get paid because they're part of the production.
Okay, true.
But as far as the entertainer doesn't get anything. The NFL's rationale is, one, you're being featured on the most prominent live telecast of the year. That's one. And two, you will see a dramatic uptick in your, and people downloading your music, which to me, the Super Bowl is just the, I don't know, it's the crescendo of capitalism.
Where is the site of next year's Super Bowl? Because I want to ask you before we move on to the legacy.
Vegas.
Oh, it's Vegas. Okay, so you in Vegas. Who, if you had the decision-making ability, would you put in that halftime show next year?
It will
year?
Not be an African-American entertainer. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Why? Because it's Vegas?
Because it's Vegas.
Oh, that's why?
Because it's Vegas.
I thought we just had a nice little run. It ain't gonna be one of them new dudes.
So we think of urban artists. All right, Rihanna's off the board. Beyonce's off the board. Jay-Z, his production company is. They help to decide who the artist will be to perform, so he probably is off the board. You might get, Usher.
Not in Vegas.
Usher would be safe.
Not in Vegas, though.
I mean...
You want him in Vegas?
Again, You gotta have a collection. If it's gonna be Usher, it has to be Usher along with Lil Jon and with this person and with that person. No, sir. you have to put on a production that is going to include multiple stars. And Kendrick has, I think he's been included before. There are people out there, but it depends on what happens over this next year. Like who evolves as like the hottest artist.
I mean Drake.
You can always have Drake.
You can always have
Ethan. They had Travis Scott that one year and didn't really work out. So and they had him paired it with like Adam Levine. Again, you gotta have the right pairing as well.
I mean, he might could do Maroon 5.
I'll take Coldplay over Maroon 5.
You could take Coldplay. I don't think they'll do Coldplay, but Maroon 5.
You about to get the Beatles or something, bro.
I would doubt that it's going to be an urban artist.
It'd be like Mariah Carey.
Yeah, it'd be someone with more pop appeal that, you know, that has that Vegas show. Taylor Swift.
The one year is they had NWA and
I don't think she would do it.
Was it Guns N' Roses or Aerosmith that was with NWA? I mean, not NWA. My goodness, I'm tripping. Run DMC.
NWA
would definitely not be on the
Super Bowl. It was Aerosmith.
It was Aerosmith. Okay, that was Halfway Decent. I think you gotta merge the two.
You can merge the two.
You just gotta find the right combo. Because you can't screw that up.
Man, you can do like Jay Z and Linkin Park. Bring it back.
Jay Z and Linkin Park. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not in that decision making process. Well, Jay-Z, but it's Vegas.
Jay Z is.
Like you said, Ray, it's Vegas. It's Vegas, and you know.
But you gotta do it big, though. It's Vegas, you still gotta do it big. Cause it's probably gonna be one of the more like one of the most intense.
Oh, absolutely! Right?
You gotta do it big. So it has to be a big act. It's gotta be a super big
urban
act.
Sport. I'm announcing it now. Urban Sports Scene in Vegas. We're gonna be on Super Bowl. Media Row?
Oh, Media Row.
Yeah.
I don't wanna be there. I don't care about that. It's all about HBCUs at this point.
Folks, I know some folks who've done Media Row.
Yeah, all the time.
And they leave before the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, they all do.
We should go out there. I mean, it'd be a good network.
It's Vegas.
Yeah,
might have to consider that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Shout out to Boxing Music John.
Yeah, no way. We can hit him up. Yeah.
Nigga,
we're stupid.
Nah, are you still asking the legacy question or no?
Nah, we're not doing that.
Okay.
We're done with that. All right. Nat's owner, Ted Lerner, passed Sunday. We'll talk about his legacy.
This is the last topic right here?
Yes, the Urban Sports Center.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces. Or Empire Media, empiremedia.com.
Still.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it seems as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, ooh, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I know now. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday.
Sucks, man. Where you gonna bring us in? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy, and we are part of Amp Pyre Media at amppyremedia.com.
Yes, sir. Thanks to everybody out there for listening. And kind of back to the DMV now, fellas. Sunday, Nats owner, Ted Lerner, he passed away from complications of pneumonia, 97 years old. I already kind of know the answer, or at least partly the answer to this question, but still, what was his legacy? Will T.
He revitalized the Navy Yard by putting the stadium down there. For one. And two, he brought a championship to D.C., something that D.C. had been longing for, you know, prior to the Capitals winning the championship. What was it?
When the Caps won it?
Yeah, because the Nationals won it in 19. The Caps won it in what?
Was it 18? Yes. It's like best back to back.
I believe so. 18? Like, yeah, I thought it was like 17 or 18, something like that. This had been a town that has been long. Steven Strasburg absent from reporting day. Come on, man. What are you doing, bro?
I mean, he's about done, though. I like Strasburg.
All right, but sorry about that. but, you know, this is a town that had longed for a championship, longed for someone to root for, right? You know, it's a very long spring and into summer until football season starts, right? Mm-hmm. And the Nats, for multiple years, captivated this region, right? Mm-hmm. I would say probably from 2012 through 2019, they captivated this region. They gave this region something to support, and a team to support during those long stretches of spring and summer. He'll be, you know, so to sum it up, you know, he'll be remembered for bringing baseball back to D.C. In spite of Peter Angelos, revitalizing the Navy Yard and bringing a championship to D.C.
I'm going to remember him for, like, shutting down H2O and the Zanzibar because we don't have it anymore. And I used to love that place.
That is a ninja.
But also in terms of the sports aspect of it, I think that, you know, I never gotten why certain national fans, Nats fans, have like kind of soured on Lerner to a certain extent. Like, he's got him a championship. I felt like, you know, he always had them trying to compete. Yes, they lost players, but they always tried to sign other players to replace those players. Absolutely. It may have not have been at this, you know, the same player, but to a point was a really good player to help you win baseball games. So I, you know, if you look at it on the flip side, like, again, I'm an Orioles fan, I'm a Baltimore fan. Like, Angelos didn't try. He didn't try. Unless it falls in his lap, then he's like, okay, let me add a couple players. But when you look at Lerner, if I felt like with that team, or Lerner and Rizzo, like, they always, like, they may lose a Bryce Harper, but it's okay, we have a good farm system. And we're able to pay certain players to help
had
a good farm system. We can sign a couple other players to help these younger players, and we can win a World Series. You know what I mean? So I just felt like, as an owner, you can do much worse. And so to me, his legacy is he brought a championship to D.C. He did. And I thought he did it in a way where, if you look at some of the other owners in this area, he wasn't as bad as some of the other owners.
I think, to just say something different from what y'all said, because I think Will captured it the best. He provides the most enjoyable stadium experience out of the three major owners.
Very good point.
FedEx is not the best experience. We know that. That speaks for itself. MCI, Capital, whatever the heck we want to call it.
Capital One Arena.
I know that. The phone booth, Verizon Center, whatever you want to call it.
It's there for the Capitals, though.
I'm just saying, again, there is some question marks asked. Is this the best stadium experience?
No, I get you.
But I know Camden Yards is dope, and that is something that it stands alone. But Nationals Park is a great experience. And Wilty, you've been to multiple games. You've taken your nephew, your son. I don't mean to put all your business out there, but I'm just saying, it's a family experience. And if you like taking your family, that speaks volumes to me. Yes. And Arthur Blank, it gives me chills, because Arthur Blank is a owner that I respect, not just because I'm a fan of his team, but because he sells things cheaper. He makes it just fan and family friendly. And I think that Taylor Lerner nailed that in the nation's capital, especially in comparison to the other professional team owners.
I agree.
Well, there are only two other professional team owners.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
The other ones are trash.
Damn.
Taylor Yonsis isn't trash.
I know that's it. The other ones are trash compared to him.
He don't care about winning in basketball, though.
He cares about hockey. Basketball,
he cares about making money. Like, he made $90 million in revenue last year, all the way.
What you just said, like, now I'm going to a whole different topic. What did you say about who is their GM right now, the Wizards?
Tommy Shepard.
So what is he basically, though? He's Ernie Grunfeld 2.0 what?
Yeah,
And who hired him? There you go. He don't care about basketball.
Yeah, he's not big on winning in basketball. He's content with the Mystics getting the chip, and also he's content with
the Caps.
Yeah. I will show him love for Monumental Sports and all the people he employs.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
Also the arena in Southeast. He wanted to make sure that he started business on that side of town. So Taylor Jones is not a bad person. I'm not saying trash. Well, Lay said that.
I said trash.
He recorded it. I'm just saying, in terms of the stadium
revocation. Revoke your first access.
In turn,
just got back good.
In terms of the stadium experience, I think the Nats ranks number one. I don't really, Wole, you should be the one going to soccer games. That's your roots. So you can give us.
Right. I told you.
No, no, no.
Like
that wasn't that, that serious.
Who's for who's soccer?
I mean, whatever. Y'all done messed my thought process up.
That was awesome.
Okay, Will T, we're going to go to the soccer stadium, bro. We're going to go to a deep. Exactly. We're going to go there to judge. Thank you for telling me the name of it. We're going to go there to judge the stadium experience to compare it to the other ones. That's the only other stadium.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. American football, Wole. You already know what it is, bro.
Ready for my roots. I love it. Behold roots. Nigerian roots. I could go with rice and Paco roots. You know what I'm
saying? I know. That's why I said it wasn't like a big joke. It wasn't.
I still loved it, bro. I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
We had Manny Jacoba on, remember? And you were like, bro, you don't like soccer? Like, we're going against what we were raised to know in our culture. So that's kind of where I got it from.
You're right,
we all going to go to the soccer stadium together.
I definitely go. I started.
Won't let you down? Well, they ain't one of the folks that wake up to watch World Cup matches.
I did.
Yeah, I mean,
I watched a single match, right?
Nah. You didn't watch the final?
Nah, man.
I told thinking. You. See, look at the Will T face.
I'm terrible.
Dog, that might have been.
You're a disgrace. You're a disgrace.
I'm a disgrace. That
was the first soccer game.
This show
that
has
I
failed the culture. Will T use avocado oil to make jollof rice, and you ain't, man.
Oh hell yeah, you didn't even fail the culture.
So that might be number one on the list as a failure.
What
your jollof rice recipe?
Nah,
never post that.
He liked it.
It was fire. It was fire.
As long as you ate, as long as I ate. No, real talk. As long as he
there is jollof rice seasoning in the store.
There is. I know. I got a couple just to back up. I got a backup one just when I put it in my.
Man, you bought that, man. You really slipping.
No, I do it as a backup. I do my regular and I do it as a backup on top. I like to add it to it. I made it a whole different flavor with it.
Just all natural.
You don't buy the bootleg.
No.
You don't buy the bootleg dashikis, though. You buy the authentic. $300 you spent on that.
I do the original. I want another kick, so I add a little bit of it just to add to it. You know, I try to be, you know, I try to.
Okay. Capital City Mumbo Sauce. That's the equivalent, huh?
No. That's it'd be equivalent. False. False.
You be the carry all. Like, I got this as a backup.
Exactly.
You can use that at home, but you know, the carry out is when you get your mumbo sauce. Don't be taking that with you. Like, I got it as a backup.
Hey, man.
That's the equivalent right there.
I take that thing to like the parties and stuff, and I make my jollof rice. That my recipe goes on it. Like, who made that? Right here.
Oh, man. I tell you, Nationals Park, best stadium experience. And they got bars around. It's a good spot, location. Like, he did the daggone thing.
I can't remember.
That's his legacy for me.
Is it cost effective?
It's affordable.
It's affordable.
Definitely. And then it has access to the metro. It has everything you want. If you want to park, you can park.
But beware.
Yeah.
It's just there's some DC stuff going on.
It wasn't like that at first, though.
Nah, it wasn't. It's gotten a little bit worse over time.
Because if I had to pick one, that's where I'm gonna go. My son doesn't like baseball, so he's like, I'm not going. Like, I don't care. I don't care if they're giving out free stuff. I'm not going.
So don't like baseball at all.
They give him a PS5, he'll go.
Baseball's like that, bro. You should like.
Yeah, he ain't feeling it. You should like soccer.
I should.
So don't do it. Yeah.
My dad told me that too. I tried, man. I tried to walk. I just couldn't do it. It's just not.
It's actually exciting.
It is.
It's exhilarating.
I mean, all like for me,
the build up.
It used to be like all this to score 1 point.
Oh, that was my mentality.
Yeah,
so
that's what it was like. All this,
but it's so much bigger than scoring.
It
you
is
know?
Though.
Just like tennis.
It's the strategy.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Definitely. I should be better. A better person.
It's this country. You Americanized. That's all.
But I won't lie. Like I didn't watch a single part of World Cup. My brother was like, "Did you watch? It was a great game. It was a classic." I was like, "No, I ain't watching."
Nah, that's the first soccer game I watched from start to end.
Yeah, I heard it was really good. I heard it was
Greece versus France. Yeah.
And
I heard some back and forth scoring.
To see Messi lose so early on, like the upsets, it was almost NCAA tournament. Like
Nigerian was
George Templeton. Nigeria, get your man, bro.
Nigeria wasn't in the World Cup, so I really didn't care. It wasn't even interesting.
They never make it because of politics, though.
They didn't. 2 years.
It's country politics.
They made it before. They made it recently.
I'm just saying they never going to make it like far.
Yeah, recently they haven't. Like recently they have a lot of politics.
They don't advance.
They did.
Just same thing.
How do you know?
You watch?
I watched them.
Cameroon, same thing. The best African country that I've seen is Senegal. You know, like they always consistently dope. I wish they would win it. Yeah. I root for the underdog, even though I love France.
We do good too.
I love France.
Just good Senegal.
And a lot of the French players are from Nigeria or Africa.
Yeah, what's from Africa, man? What's the Ted Lasso?
All right, y'all did it. Double fish from Checkers. Let's go. Before we hit up Zanzibar, since you mentioned it,
I did, man. That used to be the.
That's how I soaked my alcohol up.
Yo, the one in Greenbelt, like the Checker, that one stays late. That Checker stays up late. I get my double fish sandwiches from there, man. From Checkers. Double, what's it called? Double what again, right?
I don't know. I haven't eaten that in so long. Popeye's got fish sandwich back right now. They do. But I'm not even eating that stuff right now. So
Popeye's expensive, bro. Like real talk. Like, it is. What's her name? The new Popeye's person. She needs to lower the price. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amplifier Media, at amplifiermedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Yo, I downloaded the app, so I found the Urban Sports Scene show on the app. So to hear our show and all of the Empire shows, hey, go download the app. It has all for all the other great content. Anyway, this show has been dope. Will T, say what's up to the people.
What's up?
Ray, say goodbye to the people.
All right, people.
There you go. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Boy, Ajax.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
You did.
Goose ass.
Your fake ass accent. Hey, man.
Hey, that was dope. Kenny.